Hi, everyone, and welcome back to More Than Milestones. I'm your host, Dr. Wendy McKenna, and we're so happy to have you here today. I am so excited to be able to introduce to you Julie Bonapace. Thank you so much for being here today, Julie.
I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, as you guys know, we are here to help you boot your worry, be confident, and have a blast raising your happy baby from bump to birth and beyond. And when I found Julie in my research for doing this project, I was just so intrigued by her background. So Julie, can you introduce yourself and kind of tell people your background and how you are doing what you're doing today for families and children?
Many years ago, you know, I was researching. I think that finding my mission and my passion in life was something really important in my life. And I came to understand that I was probably to play an important role in building families. And this role probably started from a different perspective than most people. I started from divorce. So I used to be a family mediator, and I negotiated divorces for parents. And when I was doing that process, I'd often ask the family, you know, tell me the story how you fell in love and how you built your family and what happened for you guys to want a divorce today. And they'd often tell me it was around the birth of a child that the conflicts, difficulties started. So because I'm so passionate about developing myself as a person or as soul, and because I think it's so important for families to have tools to do that, I decided to create a program that would help parents work together. So really work together in building their trust in themselves and in their partners and in their babies. And in doing so, solidifying the couple before the important stressors of parenting start developing in life. So that's why I developed this program, and my program is really centered around giving tools to parents to work with the sensations of birth or work with pain, teaching the partner what he can do or what the partner wants to do, but the purpose really is to strengthen the family.
I love that, because there are a lot of programs out there that really focus on the baby and the birth, but you know, focusing on the family, because that's really what it's all about, is just so amazing. So can we dive deeper into what kinds of things you do to help prepare parents for this big transition in their life?
Yeah. You know, I was speaking to my daughter this morning, actually, and she's older now. She's working with me. She's a doctor in psychology. And I was telling her, you know, I think that what parenthood does to us as human beings is to develop our sense of selflessness, right? And the challenge is being selfless, but at the same time to be yourself and to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's a big challenge. So it's a challenge when you start from being a couple without children, then you have children, then you need to start focusing and really giving unconditional love to your children. And eventually you need to be able to transition from being that really closely bonded unit to letting the child go and leave home, right?
Right.
So there are a lot of transitions in being a human being and in being a parent. So what I do really is to teach people how to develop their tools, their competencies. And the first thing I want parents to know is that we're hardwired to give birth. Yeah. And we're hardwired to parent. We have it within us. Mm-hmm. Now, what we need to do is that we often believe that other people know better. And what that does, it creates a lot of anxiety in young couples and young families and parents. And everyone wants to be perfect. But there's no perfect model. No. Because we're all different and our children are all different. And so there are no perfect births. But what I try to teach people really is how to create the birth they want.
Right.
How to work with who they are as a couple, as a family, mm-hmm. and to create the birth they want. So I think the huge message I'm saying here is that birth belongs to us. It doesn't belong to the medical community. It doesn't belong to other people. It belongs to us. And as parenting belongs to us also, right? So we as as parents can choose and decide, and we have millions of decisions to make. Yeah. So making the decision of choosing how you want to give birth is an important decision. And oftentimes, you know, I develop an online program, and parents are hesitant in doing this online program and paying for it. Uh-huh. And I think about it, and I ask my colleagues, you know, I work with people all over the world. We've developed awesome online programs. And I think that the emphasis that we put in life, where we put our attention, sometimes is offset. For example, we're willing to spend $3,000 on a wedding dress and hiring a wedding planner and, you know, investing huge amounts of money. And when you look at it, basically, the way you get married will not change the way you will live your life as a couple or as a family. It won't change anything. Whether you get married on the side of the beach and you build a big bonfire and it costs you $100, or whether you spend $10,000, it's not going to make a difference. Yeah. But the way your child is brought into this world is going to make a huge difference. It's going to make a huge difference for you as a parent and for the child. It's going to determine part of the way this child is going to live. So shouldn't we be investing a lot of energy into having happy pregnancies and happy births and satisfying births that will then ensure a good start for the family, for the child, for the parents?
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. And I hear you. And I also feel like there's a cultural wave going in a different direction, because everything has been so medicalized. And, you know, there's a subset of people who are taking their power back and bringing birth back to themselves. But it's, you almost have to fight that stream to even know that there's somebody like you out there. How do people find you? I mean, what are they looking for when they do find you?
Well, that's an interesting question. Actually, yesterday I was giving a free e-coaching online with someone in France. And I've had more and more requests of parents who want to birth at home. Mm-hmm. And so people who birth at home are really looking for tools to feel empowered, because, you know, basically you're with your midwives and maybe a doula, your partner. So you need to feel safe. And these parents are the ones seeking a way of making the birth happier and safer. And then it's sad. It's very sad that people have to fight to live a natural birth. And I train, you know, healthcare providers in many different countries. And I'm actually leaving tomorrow. I'm going to France again, and I'll be teaching in a hospital there. And we have to reteach the whole culture of what physiology is in birth and why is it so important. And this is really ignored by the medical community. It's not even something that's on the radar. And it's also ignored by a lot of parents because they don't realize that we need the physiology of birth. The way nature has intended birth has wired us for safety, for attachment, and for feeding our children. So nature has provided the best resources to help us both give birth and give the best chances for our babies to survive and to thrive. Yeah. So you see, the program that I developed is based on reconnecting with the resources that we have to work with pain or to work with the sensations of birth. So I call it sensations because it's not technically, it depends on how you identify it, right? So you can, if you interpret the signal mentally, you interpret it as being intense, it's going to be different than if you say it's pain, right? So we're so conditioned to believe that childbirth is to be painful that many women anticipate the pain of childbirth, ask for the epidural even before having been in the sensations, because they're so scared and they're so fearful of what's happening. But that's because we ignore what the body has to help us give birth. So if you want me to maybe go through the main lines of the program.
Yeah, that would be great.
The first thing is, why do we involve the partner? Well, because when we involve the partner, we have science now that teaches us that the partner will produce the hormones of attachment. Mm-hmm. And when he's involved, or when the partner is involved during pregnancy and childbirth, will produce also the hormones that create attachment. So the more the father is attached, the more the father or the partner will take care of the baby. And the more the partner takes care of the baby, the less at risk they are of divorces. So when I was negotiating divorces, I'd ask the partners, you know, what's going on? I mean, what happened after the birth of your child? And they often told me that they felt, you know, neglected and left out, and that even sexually, and that made them not feel part of the family unit. And I'd ask women, what's going on with you? And they'd say, well, you know, I'm overwhelmed. I have all these things to do. I have to take care of my child. I take care of the house. I do work. And I, you know, I have all these responsibilities. I mean, being with my partner is almost feeling like an obligation. It's something that's added to my list.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's not the way it was supposed to be meant, let's say. So the purpose of my program really is to have the partner participate. Mm-hmm. And participate feeling competent and knowing what to do to be able to support the woman, mm-hmm. and also to be able to produce the hormones that will protect the child and the mother and the family unit, because the father needs to be attached to the family if we want the family to survive as a whole, right? To thrive as a unit. Mm-hmm. So what I teach the partner is the neurophysiology of pain. So how the partner can reduce the intensity of the signal. So this is more of a technical, mechanical part. So we teach the partner the different mechanisms, so how you can create non-painful stimulations of the painful area. So that's like massage, bathing, moving, vibrating, and how he can help doing that during childbirth. We also teach the partner how he can create a second pain during a contraction. So this is a neurophysiologic mechanism that releases an important quantity of endorphins. Right. And the endorphins, which is a neurotransmitter that helps to reduce the signal. And this is really going to act on the intensity of the signal, so how strong the signal is. Right. But the big part in childbirth is the psychological, emotional state of the moms.
Yeah.
And everybody ignores that always. My colleagues and I, you know, I'm part of a scientific research team, and we published a meta-analysis in 2014 that demonstrated that when women feel safe, they have better births. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of us, it's like a no-brainer, right?
Right.
But if you want to reduce the rate of cesarean sections, of forceps, of vacuum extractions, the need for synthetic oxytocin, what creates this safe environment is when the woman feels safe. So if you want to reduce all those interventions, we need to focus on how the mom is feeling. So if the mom is anxious, if the mom is scared, she's going to have more challenges in birth.
Yeah.
So we teach the partner how to mentally and emotionally be present. And we teach the woman how her resources are hardwired, and she can then be calm and trust the process. Uh-huh. But it's a huge challenge, because during her whole pregnancy, she's always hearing something going wrong. And no one hardwires, you have it all. It's all in there. Now, let me teach you what you need to do for things to go well. Okay. So we don't do that. We say, so the medical community says, you're at risk of this and that and this and that. But the emphasis is not on, this is what you need to do. So
right.
What you need to do is prepare your body. So you need to strengthen and stretch your body. Mm-hmm. Prepare your body physically. Yeah. Then you need to prepare emotionally. So if you were, let's say you're going on an expedition and you're going to be climbing a mountain, do you just say, oh, well, I'll figure it out when I get there? So you train, right? So you train, you prepare your luggage, you make sure you have a good guide, you make sure that you have someone to support you. So you create your team. So why is it we have this magic thought that somebody else is going to take care of birth for you? Well, And that's why I'm saying we need to re-own the event. If you want to enjoy it, you need to own it. And own it means making choices and preparing for it. Preparing the same way you prepare for going on a trip, right? You research what you could visit and, you know, what how the weather is and what's going on in that country. And do you need to prepare anything special for that event, right? So right. I think that in birth, the message that we need to send out is that we need to trust. You know, my book is called Trusting Birth. Keys to Loving Your Birth Experience. So what this book teaches is that in the process of birth and in our bodies and in our baby's bodies, there's everything that we need to make it safe and happy. So let's learn how to activate that. And then there's the whole other part about hormones. So I work in the medical community all the time. And I ask them, tell me what you know about the hormones in labor. And they know very, very little. And I'm talking about even midwives in Europe that I train or in Northern Africa, or they know very little because a lot of the training, unfortunately, is based on complications and not on right. fostering the right conditions.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dr. Sarah Buckley from Australia has done some magnificent work in helping us understand how the hormones are really there to help protect, to help create breastfeeding and attachment. Mm-hmm. And we also teach, you know, the partner. So the partner, how the partner can help produce these hormones. Mm-hmm. Because the hormones that we produce in childbirth are the same ones that we produce during sex. Mm-hmm. So I think that understanding that the conditions in which we like to have, do we like to make love? So there are conditions where we feel privacy, where we feel protected, where we feel warm, where there are good smells. All of this is what enables us to enjoy sex. Well, if we want to enjoy childbirth, yeah. we also need to create some of these conditions. Mm-hmm. So even if we're not planning on having birth at home, we yeah. can have birth in a hospital setting, but create this private environment.
Yeah.
Create, you know, like come with our own clothes, not the hospital gown, but with our own clothes and with our smells, and have our partner close and avoid the bed and move around, use a ball and use a yoga mat and
squat bar. Or,
squat bar, and use your sensations to guide you right into feeling and doing what your body is telling you to do.
Yes. Oh, I love all of that. And I myself wanted all natural births. I didn't want it to be medicalized, but I also wanted to feel like I was safe having a medical team there in case something went wrong, just because mm-hmm. I think we're just, like you said, it's told to us over and over again, all of the risks and all the things that can go wrong and all the things that have to happen when that does. And so I remember talking to friends saying, I want to do this. And they treated me like I was some superhero. I'm like, no, I mean, this is good. But then at the same time, I remember as early as I can, like if I ever complained that something was hard or that something hurt, always someone compared it to, well, it's nothing compared to childbirth. And so childbirth has just, we've been brought up from childhood to just be conditioned that it is the most pain that you will ever be in. Even in physical therapy school, you know, we have the 0 to 10, you know, pain scale, and they're like, you know, 0 is you're fine, 10 is like you're having a baby. You know, it's like everything is conditioned to this pain. And so I remember I went through some hypnobirthing and felt so much better after being educated as to exactly how the uterus works and how the body works, and that it really is there for us and there for our baby. And I felt better. But then when I went and talked to my OB-GYN about it, she was like, yes, I totally will support you. I just wish it were your second baby. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, it rarely works the first time. So I just felt like I was shot down again.
Yeah.
And yeah,
you know what that's called? That's called a nocebo effect, right? Okay. So the nocebo effect is creating a negative effect by conditioning a thought. Mm-hmm. So imagine if your OB had said, you know what, Wendy, I think that's an amazing idea, and I'm sure you can do it. Now, we'll create everything we need to do to support you in that. That would create the placebo effect. She could also say, you know, I've seen first moms doing it, and they're fine. They're doing really well, and they're thriving. She could say that, and that would increase the your belief in it, and it would also reduce your sensation. So you're in labor, and you're like, my OB told me she's seen lots of women doing it, and it works. That would increase the placebo. So we have, but the reason why they do it is that they don't understand how it is. I know because I published the Canadian guideline on pain management for the Society of Obstetricians. Mm-hmm. And I'm the one training them on how we're hardwired. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't know that. So the problem is we have people who don't know that teaching parents who don't know. So right. Parents say, well, I have to trust somebody, so I'm going to trust my doctor. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, the doctors, they don't know. That's our job. My job is to train them and to teach them how we're hardwired for this. So do you understand? In this field, in natural, non-pharmacological pain management, you can't turn to your medical resource to have the evidence or to have even the practice of how to do it. So you have to go somewhere else to find that information. And that's what makes it difficult for people to find us because they're in the medical system and they trust that the physicians are going to have the solutions and they're going to be able to guide them through all of the non-invasive, non-pharmacological methods.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we find the same thing in the field of physical therapy that people want to give their power away to mm-hmm. medical practitioner. And it's very challenging sometimes to get people to follow through on some of the things we're talking about in PT because we educate them how to do it themselves. And it's like, exactly. Oh no, I'd just rather go get a massage or I'd rather go, you know, get adjusted or, and it's like, you got to do the work too. I mean, but then when you do the work, it's yours.
Exactly.
And it belongs to nobody else. And mm-hmm. And so then it just, it opens up whole new avenues, but it is definitely a culture shift. And, and so I wanted to jump one step further because, I'm happy to say that my second and my third births were amazing, beautiful, totally natural. Like I knew that when I walked into the hospital, I had to ask for the nurse who was going to support natural birth because I didn't have a doula with me and there was only one who was like, oh yes, I will do that, you know, and so that was really nice to have that extra support. But that first birth, I lasted about, you know, 12 plus hours through the whole night with nothing. But then, you know, things kind of started to crash a little bit. And I had my birth plan. I knew what I wanted, and I felt like I was calm when I had to make the decisions to go forward in a way that wasn't part of my original plan. But then how do you get over when your birth plan doesn't go to plan? Because I felt like a failure.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's really tough. You know, I think that there's a spiritual principle that's called responsibility and then surrender. So it's like, do your best, always do your best and then surrender. Mm-hmm. So do your best means create all the conditions for things to work and always know that there's part of it that you don't control. So you surrender that. So you accept that life or the universe or the divine or whatever you want to call it is taking over that part, right? So there's only so much that you can do. But once you know that you've done everything, then just to surrender and say, well, you know, it is what it is. And mm-hmm. this is where I am. Mm-hmm. So we always prepare for, you know, we have people who plan a type of birth and who desire. So we don't call it a birth plan. We call it birth wishes, right? Oh, so you go, it's like with a fairy, you wish something and you don't always get exactly what you wished for. So it's a wish. It's a vision of something that you'd like to experience. But it's the ability also to surrender. So part of it is to own it and then to surrender it. But I'd like to really emphasize something, is mm-hmm. that women and parents who are giving birth in the medical community, there are some communities that are more open, but they're not patient-centered. They're mm-hmm. centered on protocols that belong to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And just that factor, just that one factor, really messes up a lot of the physiology in birth. So if I were to give you, give this the people who are listening a couple of hints.
Yes,
I'd say prepare, really prepare. Prepare, mm-hmm. Take time to feel with your partner what's important to you. Because you're going to have millions of decisions to make as a parent. And the faster you own the process of making decisions, the easier it's going to be. Mm-hmm. So we use a brain model. So it's look at the benefits, the risks, the alternatives. What does your intuition say? And what happens if you do nothing? You know, every time something really important you need to make a decision on, look through this model and ask questions. Don't be satisfied with, this is the way we do this here, and that's the way it is. So women give birth on their back here, and that's the way it is. Don't just accept that. Mm-hmm. We have rights as women and babies and parents and families. We have rights. And so it's ask questions. Ask questions and find the right people. So it's like when you're going to go on an expedition, on a trip, mm-hmm. a lot of it has to do with planning the trip. So plan it well. Plan it well. It's a good investment. So train, make good decisions, find a team, and find a place to give birth. That's almost 50% of the equation. Because if you're in a birthing environment that's going to support you. So when at midnight or 4 o'clock in the morning, you're having doubts and you're in birth and you're like, holy cow, I can't make this. I won't be able to, which is normal because
uh-oh, you cut out, Julie.
Part of the physiology of birth is having that fear. It's called physiologic fear, right? Mm-hmm. But in that moment, when you have that supporting person, that kind, caring person who's with you and says, Wendy, what's going on? What's going on inside? And just listens to you, just talks to you, just is there for you. It kind of makes for, oh, okay, I'm not alone. You're not alone. We're not alone. We shouldn't be in birth alone. So choosing the proper environment are really key factors. And then surrendering and saying, well, you know, some say may thy will be done, or, you know, it's just surrender to what's there. But before surrendering, take your power, right?
Yes. No, I love that. And going back to an original thought that you'd talked about before, you know, I think a lot of us grow up thinking about the day that we're going to get married and what that day is going to look like. And I think the idea of getting married is just this such huge transition that childbirth almost feels like it's just part of the cascade of that. Mm-hmm. You know, that the family just comes secondary to that marriage. And, you know, because obviously that's the questions that everyone asks me, well, when are you going to have kids? When am I going to have the grandkids? You know, it's just this natural thing, but we don't spend the time researching it, knowing what we want, sitting with just the thoughts and feelings of what you really want out of that. So to even know what questions to ask and how to break out of, you know, that medical model that we've been in for our whole lives, you know, and I can also think about this in terms of my first child doing anything. How do you find the right preschool? How do you find the right nanny? Like, what are you really looking for? I mean, those decisions have gotten easier for two and three because my first one was that guinea pig, but sometimes it's hard to know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
And you know, what's really interesting about that is to work with a higher resource that we have that's called intuition, right? Mm-hmm. So we have the brains in our body all over, and our gut is one of our brains. So, you know, when you say, oh, I have this gut feeling, this person is not right, or this person is really good, I have this feeling inside. Well, we can use that to guide us, right? So when I work in hospitals, I ask healthcare providers, when a woman says something's wrong in my pregnancy, I'm telling you something is wrong, do something. Is she right or is she usually, not? She's right almost 100% of the time. So women have the knowingness. We do, and so does the partner, right? So in parenting, in finding solutions, you sit in front of a professional, whether a midwife or a doctor or a nurse or anyone else, and you immediately have that sensation, oh, I really feel good here. Or no, this doesn't feel right. I don't like coming here. This person judges me and is critical and doesn't listen to me, never listens to what I say. Well, then get out of there, right? Then get out of there. You go in the hospital, you feel welcome, you feel happy. Good. You don't feel happy, find another place, right? So that's part of taking the power back. And sometimes if we do everything through our mind, then we get really mixed up. Yeah. We lose all of our, really our capacity to make a good evaluation of the situation, you know, because the mind can lie, but our body doesn't lie. And you know, as a physical therapist, right, you know that the body translates, it demonstrates the sensations, the thoughts that we have.
Yes.
So if we have a thought or we have an emotion, it's going to create a sensation in the body. So if you're thinking, there's going to be lots of traffic, I'm going to be late for work, it's immediately going to create a sensation in your body, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to tighten your stomach and it's going to create cramps and so it's going to have an effect. So we can rely on the sensations and say, okay, I'm feeling really bad now. So what is this telling me? Why do I have this sensation in my stomach? What is that telling me? Mm-hmm. And so I think that when we start using that intuition, it really helps us, you know, get away from the mind model, because the mind will create anxiety. Yes. All the thoughts that we have in our head, they create anxiety.
Yes. And I think so much, we're so busy that we never take the time to listen to our body. Mm-hmm. You know, so creating that space to be able to just get out of our heads a bit more and drop down and really hear and listen. So I love all of this. And unfortunately, we've come to the end. So are there any final thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners?
Well, I think that we've covered quite a bit. And just to add to what you just said about dropping into our bodies and just to let go of our mind, I think that the practice of mindfulness or meditation or contemplation or prayer, these are really good practices to have daily. So what I like to recommend to the parents that I train also is to take 20 minutes a day and to just stop. And there's by chanting sounds, when you chant, you're breathing also. So this helps to focus. So there's one sound that I teach them. I teach them to use that in childbirth also. So all it is essentially is to sing. You sing a sound. It's hu, H-U. So hu. And you do 20 minutes of that a day. And that's going to help you get out of your brain, into your body, start working with your breath, which is really good because a lot of us hold our breath a lot, right? And it relaxes and aligns us. So maybe that's a practice people will want to try.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I definitely felt through our talk today that there were several times where what you were saying just almost made me take a nice, big, deep cleansing breath. And so I just so appreciate you and what you're doing. And thank you for your work.
You're welcome. So I have a free bonus on my website. If people are interested, they can go to bonapace.com. So that's bonapace.com. And there's a free 30-minute coaching session with me if they're interested.
Wonderful. And I'll get that link, and it'll just be a button right underneath you on the speaker page. So it'll just be really easy, quick click. Okay. So perfect. Well, thank you, Julie, for being here. It was really lovely speaking with you today.
Thank you for everything you're doing, Wendy.
Absolutely. Okay, you guys, you have a beautiful day. And just, oh gosh, think about all of this and just give yourself that 20 minutes of time. I feel like I want to go take it right now. So I will see you tomorrow and have an awesome day. Wonderful, beautiful day. Okay. Goodbye, everyone.